Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good Monday. Jeff Wirtz back in the Blog Talk Radio studios for another edition of 15 Minutes Fan. Now, full disclosure here, I had every intent in starting today's show with college basketball. 100% intent starting with both the Jayhawks and the Wildcats. But social media, as social media does, changed that tide roughly about an hour ago. Completely rewrote the show just about 1 hour ago. And you may be asking, well, what did social media do? What did they possibly do that could completely train wreck this show? Well, first thing this morning, I popped on Twitter to see what the tone was like after the All-Star game last night. Man, oh man, the vitriol coming off of social media after the NBA All-Star game last night. I just couldn't believe it. To me, and this, I did not check out before I went to bed last night, did not even take a look at Facebook or Twitter. Did not even get a pulse on what America was thinking about the NBA All-Star game. But man, when I got up this morning and saw that first thing, I thought to myself, how could they hate this so much? I get it. I get that it's not real basketball. I get that. I understand that with no problem. Obviously, we saw no sets. We saw no defense. We saw very, very lax. And I don't even want to call it lax foul calling, because I thought there were quite a bit more fouls than I had expected in this exhibition game. And that's all it was. Exhibition. That's all that thing was last night. And if anyone has their panties at a bunch that this game nearly hit 200 last night, you're out of your mind and you're out of your depth. If you are looking for, and to me, and I said this last night, to me, there are two All-Star games still worth watching. And maybe they're the two that get watched the least. That is the NBA All-Star Game, and that is the NHL All-Star Game. Two of my favorite, and I think the two that get watched the absolute least. You know, you have your fans of the MLB All-Star Game, and I love the MLB All-Star Game. I think it's changed quite a bit through the years. I think, and I think every All-Star game has changed. The Pro Bowl, I won't even touch. I've discussed this before. I won't even touch the Pro Bowl. It just absolutely annoys me what they're doing at the Pro Bowl now. So when I got online this morning and saw the absolute just terrorized of the thought process of the NBA All-Star game last night, it just absolutely blew my mind. If you didn't see it, offense, as you expected, Western Conference gets the 192-182 victory over the Eastern Conference. Anthony Davis, the hometown star of the New Orleans Pelicans, he does get the MVP in this. 52 points and 10 boards for Anthony Davis. A triple-double coming from KD in this game. 21 points, 10 dimes, and 10 boards. So KD has a nice game. He has a shot at the MVP, but when you put up 52 points in your hometown, setting the new scoring record, you will win the MVP. So congratulations to Anthony Davis, the Unibrow, getting MVP honors in a game. I did not realize how many people hated this game. They had already reached 100 points by halftime. And I thought, oh man, this is great for the game of basketball. This, you know, just the fun of this game was through the roof. And that intro, you need to start off things like this with a bang. How cool was that intro by The Roots last night? Absolutely amazing about who the greatest was. Absolutely cool. If you have not seen that, I'm sure it's floating around on the internet somewhere today. Wow. The Roots killed that. Absolutely killed that, including, alongside Michael B. Jordan, plus multiple others. The Roots killed that last night. And it was just the start of what was an awesome, awesome night for the NBA, something that they needed. I think the crowd had started to taper away a little bit from the NBA. This thing got them right back in it. And I hope Twitter is the vocal minority in this thing and you were able to see this and enjoy it. But again, the Western Conference does get the 192-182 victory. And unlike some other sports, it doesn't matter who won. This isn't going to decide home court for the NBA Finals. This isn't going to, you know, do anything. It was an exhibition, and an exhibition was put on by these two teams. Absolutely incredible and a lot of fun to watch. Real quick news from the NBA, if you missed it, after the game last night, DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings will be staying in New Orleans tonight. For the foreseeable future, he was part of a trade yesterday between the Kings and the Pelicans that will also send Buddy Hield to Sacramento, the two big names, and that as well as a couple of draft picks that are top three locked, which means New Orleans must immediately release that pick, must immediately surrender the pick if it lands in the number four or lower. So New Orleans trying to get one of those top three picks in what is going to be a stout draft next year in the NBA because of some great college basketball this year. Speaking of great college basketball, all right, we are getting into the stuff that everybody loves, the February-March action in college basketball. And this weekend in the Sunflower State, we saw two of those games that came down to the wire and meant a lot for both of those teams, both good and bad. First of all, we will talk with the Kansas Jayhawks. They took on the number four Baylor Bears. This thing was everything that you could have imagined. Back and forth the entire time. Came down to the final possession, and Kansas stopped it abruptly on that final possession. Baylor was staggered, could not get anything off on that final possession. And the Jayhawks get the 67-65 win over the Baylor Bears. Frank Mason, 23 points in this ballgame, finishes two assists short of the double-double. Josh Jackson comes in, 16 points as well. He had a little bit of an off night, 7 of 14 shooting, just was a little bit ineffective, late in this ballgame after picking up his fourth foul. Jackson was just a little ineffective late down the stretch, but Frank Mason took over for the Jayhawks. Again, 23 points for Frank Mason III. He gets the high point man throughout the game. Three players in double figures for the Baylor Bears. Jonathan Motley, of course, leading the Bears with 19 points. LeComp coming in with 16 to incorporate himself into this ballgame. But again, the Jayhawks do get the much-needed 67-65 victory. They get out of that murderer's row. As we said about a week ago, they had three big opponents that they had to get by, and they do that pretty easily. I shouldn't say pretty easily. They work their tails off. But they do get those three wins that they needed. All starting with that Texas Tech game, you thought that thing was going to come down to the wire, and it did. All of these games, two possessions or less. The only one, the widest margin for those last three was the last contest with West Virginia, the 84-80 victory. Otherwise, it was a one-point victory at Tech and a two-point victory, of course, on Saturday with Baylor. So Kansas staking a claim to be one of those top teams in the nation and to be on that number one line. A team that is, I don't want to say 12, you can go from out to in quickly, very quickly. And I think that is a team that we saw on Saturday with the Kansas State Wildcats. They take a victory over Texas, a big-time win over the Texas Longhorns, 64-61. Three players in double figures for the Wildcats. They are led by Wesley Awundu, 16 points for him, 15 coming from Barry Brown, and 14 from Kamau Stokes. DJ Johnson rendered, I hate to use the term useless in this game, but DJ Johnson was just non-existent in this game. Four fouls and picked them all up early. 20 minutes in this game for DJ Johnson. He was just nothing for the Wildcats, and that's the only thing that made this score close. Had he been able to get on just a little bit, I think the Wildcats win this thing easily, but thanks to a low percentage, and I hate to put it on one guy, but man, if DJ Johnson would have been able to stay on the court, I think Kansas State wins this game handily. However, they do come away with their 17th victory of the year. They now get their 17th victory and head into that game against Oklahoma coming up on Wednesday. Both of these teams taking big games on Wednesday that could potentially shape what they are going to do. I think Kansas right now, barring a absolute unforeseen massacre in the next week or so, including losing that Big 12 championship, which I, at this point, is almost a, they would have to not show up. And I don't mean play badly. I mean not come to the games, the next three, to not get the Big 12 championship, the 13th Big 12 championship. But again, Kansas State does take on Oklahoma State. This game has a lot of implications, I think, for both of these teams as far as seeding, not only for the Big 12 tournament, but also for the NCAA tournament. I think if either of these teams can take advantage of this ballgame and get a big win, it will say a lot toward their placing in the NCAA tournament. The other team, the Kansas Jayhawks, on Wednesday, they get back to the court and take on TCU. Kansas needs a nice win here. And Bill Self said it perfectly in postgame on Saturday. They just need to have some fun now, and they have a chance to do that against TCU. But don't let these Jayhawks sleep. Don't let them they can't just go to sleep on their next few opponents, because if Kansas – falls once, maybe even twice, which is damn near impossible with the rest of their schedule. But if they were to fall a couple of times, it may be a season definer. It may be a change for the committee. Their final four games, TCU at Texas, at home against Oklahoma, and finishing up at Oklahoma State before they head in to the Big 12 tournament. So Kansas right now has that firm lead on the Big 12 championship, but if they were to take some sort of fall, which if I started dating a supermodel, that's when the Kansas Jayhawks would take a big-time downturn. These last four should be, I don't want to say cakewalks because no game in the Big 12 is a cakewalk, but the heart of the lineup is gone. Let's just put it that way. They are now facing the 7, 8, 9 hitters in their schedule. Very front-loaded, middle-loaded, I should say, schedule for the Kansas Jayhawks. They now kind of reap the rewards a little bit and take on a couple of these teams that are on the lower half of the Big 12 bracket right now. All right, let's take a look at what we have going on tonight, a trifecta of college hoops tonight on ESPN, the mothership having a big Monday that is a little less than big, really. No game on this thing really going to keep my eyes. I will watch, but if the toaster pops up, I will head out of the room. There's just really nothing that's going to draw me to this night. But it does start out with the Virginia Cavaliers. I don't know who has toast at night. I don't know. I know what you're thinking. I don't know who has toast at night. Virginia Cavaliers, number 14 in the nation, they take on Miami in Charlottesville. That a 6 o'clock start. Also a 6 o'clock start for Boston College and number 17, Florida State. Florida State coming off of a game this weekend. They get a loss this weekend against the Pitt Panthers. They get really handled in that ball game. They have now lost 2 straight. So Florida State trying to bounce back from that with a game against Boston College tonight. Look for Florida State to kind of take out their aggressions on the BC Eagles tonight. And the game in the Big 12 tonight, it is Texas taking on number 9, West Virginia. That is one of 2 games in the Big 12. The other one being Iowa State taking on Texas Tech. That at both of those games, an 8 o'clock start, one coming from Morgantown, West Virginia, the other one from Lubbock, Texas. Texas, West Virginia on ESPN, Iowa State, Texas Tech on ESPNU. All right, that's all I have for today. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow with a brand new edition of 15 Minutes of Fan.